Take your Bible, if you will, tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 in your Bible. And I want to preach a message to you that, I try to preach things that help people. And I know this is one thing that's going to happen to you. I want to preach to you on what to do when you face the devil. What to do when you face the devil. And because I know you're going to, all right? So let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now I said I want to speak to you on what to do when you face the devil. Now, would you hear me tonight? Listen on purpose, okay? You're going to face him. You can depend on that fact. At some time in life, you will be confronted by the devil somehow. Now, I don't mean you'll physically see him. All right? I don't mean, you know, a little guy's going to show up, with a pitchfork and all that garbage, and which is not scriptural either, by the way. All right? The Bible talks about him being an angel of light. So if somebody shows up with a pitchfork and a red suit, you probably don't need to worry about him, all right? Except they may have mental problems, and that might give you cause to worry. But, hey, I don't know how he's going to show up, all right? He may appear as, some beautiful woman to you men. It may be in the form of some, macho-looking dude, if you will. I don't know what it'll be, but whatever the form, he'll see to it that you're going to be confronted and temptation's going to be served up. It will happen. And in whatever form it comes, now listen, you can count on it. It's going to look good. It's going to look good. There's one thing the devil knows how to do. He knows how to package temptation. He knows how to put it there, all right? So, but when that happens, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? How are you going to face the devil? So here in these scriptures, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the best example that we could have to follow. So that's what I want us to look at tonight, just for a little bit. Go with me. Don't lose your place here, but go over to James chapter 4, would you? James chapter 4 and verse 7. You're talking about something that we need to hear. We need to be reminded of this great truth, all right? James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. But then notice it says, Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Hey, the first thing, if you face the devil, the first thing you need to do is resist him. Resist him. You said, Preacher, well, isn't that obvious? Well, I think it ought to be, but it amazes me. If you don't want to be affected by a salesman, what do? Well, you turn deaf ear. You shake your head. You say, nope, no thanks, no thanks, not interested. And you begin to shut the door, right? Or if you're like me and my wife and you're gluttons for punishment, and you go on several presentations for timeshares, so you can get a few nights free in a place. You decide, I'll go through your spiel. It's interesting to me. Now, I'm going to tell you, the folks that do that are masters of manipulation. They're masters of it. They're really good. They keep asking questions until they ask the question somehow, some way. They finally get to it that you're going to say yes if you're honest. And once they get a yes, that's the angle they decide to work. You know, they're opportunistic. They try it, and they're good. And once you say yes, mark it down, you'll be there another hour anyway, all right? Hey, the devil, though, he's going to come. And he's, you know, he guaranteed to show up. It's our job to resist him. Now, we're good at the salesman, maybe. We do shut the door. We do cut it off. The trouble with us, though, in temptation is this. I told you, when the devil packages it, it always looks really, really good. All right? So he packages that way. And we get the idea, I can just kind of look it over and not be affected. We get to thinking, hey, I can listen to the sales pitch. I can watch the demonstration. I can take the test drive and then say, nope. But it doesn't work that way. The devil's good at what he does, all right? He's good at what he does. He works on us. He works hard. And if we ever get to that point where we think, well, I'm just going to listen. I just want to see. Man, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you need to work at resisting him. All right? Resisting him. Now, not leading him on a little bit and then try to say, well, I'll resist. No. It's right now. You start with that resistance. Not going to look. Not going to go there. What David say? He said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. He didn't say, I'm going to look it over and then consider it. No, when he looked it over, he got into sin. He got into sin. So the devil knows how to present it to us. So that's why the Bible comes to us and says, our job is resist. Resist the devil. That is an active thing, okay? Resistance is not passive. It's not where you sit with folded hands and your head down and say, okay, I'm just not going to listen. No, no, no. No, you got to actively resist it. You got to actively oppose what's going on. Got to put some effort into it. So first thing you're going to do when he comes along, I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist him. I'm going to resist that sales pitch. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to go down the road a little bit. It's going to be, no, no, no. Not interested. Not interested. And I'm going to cut it off. I get calls all day long at school and on my cell phone. And they're trying to hook you into something. Bunch of them, I'm sure, scams. And some of them, when you start talking to them, if you take time to talk, said, I know it's not a scam. I said, who said it was? You got a guilt complex coming over, you know. But man, I just don't have the time. Hello? And I hear that little wait, and then boop, and I know, okay, they just hooked in. That signals me to mash, goodbye. And so sometimes when they say hello, I say goodbye. And I'm done, you know. Don't want to listen. Hey, we're going to resist the devil. It needs to be that way, all right? Needs to be that way. Second thing you need to do is this. You need to remind yourself. You say, what do you mean, remind yourself? I want you to go back there, and I want you to see what the Lord said three times. He said three words. He said, it is written. It is written. Hey, can I say this to you? We need to remind ourselves, God has written some things down in a book called the Bible. He wrote those things there. They're there for a reason. They're there for our good. There's a purpose for it. We're not to just kind of cast that off and forget. No, we're to remind ourselves God wrote something, all right? God wrote, when the devil comes with the temptation, when he's seeking to pull you aside, when he's seeking to pull you down, you need to remind yourself, wait a minute, I know what the Bible says. You see, there's two reasons you remind yourself. One is, number one, God expects us to obey what he said. God expects us to obey what he said. Every now and then at school, I have a child that I'll say something, do this, and they say, why? I said, because I said so. And so, you know, I'm sure they don't enjoy that, but we're not in a debate, okay? Well, we're not taking a vote on the deal. Hey, we have to remind ourselves, God wrote a book, and you know what? He expects us to do what he said. We're his children. Now, I don't know how you grew up. I don't know how your parents raised you. My parents raised me. We did what they said. They laid down the law, and they said, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And I look back on it, I'm real glad they did that, because I was young and dumb. And kids are young and dumb, all right? And you sometimes hope they get to teenage years, they wise up. But sometimes they relapse severely in those years. So that's why when they're young, you begin to teach them and train them. Hey, you and I have a book. God's written that book. That book's for me. That book's for you. What it says, you're to listen to. But what it says, you're to obey. You're to obey it. Say, preacher, who do you think you are? I'm just a guy telling you that God said that he wrote this book, all right? I didn't write it. I didn't outline it. I didn't come up with it. But you and I have to remind ourselves about what he has said, or we'll forget it. We'll forget it. I sometimes go to the grocery store, and I'll think, all right, I got five things I got to pick up. Five things. Now, man, I say it over and over and over and over and over and over. And I get to the store, and I can remember four of them. You ever that been there? You remember four of them. You go, man, what was that other one? What was that other one? All right, and I have to go over and over, and finally, usually, it'll kick in. I say, great. You know, I remember that thing. Hey, well, listen, we have to remind ourselves that God wrote us a book. We remind ourselves what's there so we don't forget. We don't forget. Hey, you know what? There's not always going to be somebody there to tell you. I'm not going to trek around with you, and every time Satan comes along, you can look at me and say, preacher, what does the Bible say? No, you've got the opportunity. You're to learn that. You're to come up with what that Bible says. You're to make it a part of your life, is to be in you, and you remind yourself, hey, I'm to obey what he has said. That's the first reason we're to make sure we remind ourselves about that book, all right? The second reason is we need to remind ourselves that there are consequences to disobedience. There are consequences to disobedience. You can't get out and just do whatever you want. There's consequences to disobedience. Sometimes those consequences are painful, physically painful. You disobey God, and man, he told you for a reason, do this. And if you do that, you avoid some pain. And even physical pain. But if you don't do it, it comes your way. It comes your way. You have to pay for it. Hey, we can't do just whatever moves us and think, no payday. Don't have to worry about that. We can't get the idea, well, I know God says not to do it, but hey, just this once won't hurt. There's tons of people across this world that have died just this once because they did something they knew better than to do. I've just got to try this. No, you don't have to. You don't have to. You know, I used to, in preaching to teenagers, I'd teenagers say, oh, preacher, you just don't want me to have any fun. No, I want you to live to have more years of fun, okay? I want you to live a longer time down the line where you can enjoy a lot of life and you don't mess it up right now and have to live with the consequences for 50 years. Hey, listen, God's word's pretty plain. He tells us what to do, and we need to remind ourselves we're to obey it, and we need to remind ourselves, hey, if I don't obey it, there'll be a price. There will be a price to pay. We cannot disobey what the Bible says. Payday's coming. Payday's coming. Hey, judgment is on its way. Judgment's on its way. Man, you can't help. I can't help but think about David in the Old Testament. David thought, well, I've covered my sin. He went to long and detailed things to do to cover his sin. But payday showed up. That day came where Nathan sat down with him and said, it's you. It's you. You're the one. Thou art the man. It was payday. Payday is not a pleasant time when you're paying for your sin. Nothing good about it. It's a hard way to go. Hey, but listen, that's why you and I, we need to remind ourselves, hey, it's written. God's written to us. Satan comes along with temptation, and remember, I said, it'll look good. It will look good. Just going to look real good. I've told people before, when the temptation comes to drink booze or any kind of alcoholic beverage, it's not going to be presented to you by some fella carrying a brown bag and coming up to you, and he hadn't shaved in a few days, hadn't taken a bath in who knows how long, and he staggers up to you and said, hey, would you like a snort? You wouldn't have a problem turning that down. But it doesn't come that way. Doesn't come that way. Hey, listen, you and I need to realize, we need to remember what God says is true. He's written it for our good. If we ignore it and we disobey, there will be a payday. There's going to be a day show up where you have to pay for that disobedience. And God help us, that's not a very pleasant thing. So number one, all right, you resist him. You resist him. Number two, you remind yourself that God's written a book. He's written a book, all right? Then number three, look, if you will, in verse 6 there in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Not only do you remember that it is written, but you need to remember the devil knows the Bible. Remember the devil knows the Bible. Look at here in verse 6. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Here's Satan quoting the scriptures, all right? He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Hey, now the devil knows this book. He's had a lot of time to learn it. But you mark it down, he's only going to use part. Or he's going to yank what he uses out of context. He's going to pull it out. That's why every drunk knows that somewhere in the Bible it says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Every drunk knows that's in the Bible. So, I mean, they do it. Now, if you said, well, where is it? I don't know, but it's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. Everyone that compromises with sin is quick to say, wait a minute, the Bible says, judge not. Man, that may be the most misquoted verse in all the Bible in our day. Judge not. Man, the Bible said, you ain't supposed to judge. Hey, can I say this to you? The same Bible says, judge not, also says, judge righteous judgment. So obviously, you got to have a little bit of discernment there, all right? But anyway, I mean, every compromiser knows that. But that's because the devil works hard at what he does. Works hard at what he does. And he knows this book. And don't, you know, somebody quotes a little bit of it, you be careful. I'll never forget one time hearing Jimmy Swaggart quote part of a scripture verse. I don't know what I was doing listening to him, but I think it was on a Sunday morning. It was a long time ago. Had it on, and he quoted this Bible verse, and I thought, well, he stopped at a strange place in the midst of that scripture. You see, the rest of that scripture talked about eternal security of the believer. But old Jimmy Swaggart didn't believe in the eternal security of the believer. He said, preacher, you ought not to use people's names. Well, I want to be sure you know who I'm talking about, all right? I don't want you to be mistaken, all right? And I don't have it in for him or anything like that. But hey, you look out. You say, are you saying he's the devil? No. But I'm saying to you, sometimes the devil could use something like that. Devil could use something like that. Be careful. Just call somebody quotes a little scripture to you. Don't get sucked in on that, all right? Somebody's trying to get you to do wrong. And they quote a verse of scripture or part of a verse of scripture. You might want to check out where the rest of it comes from, all right? He's good. He knows his Bible. But he always perverts what he uses. Always perverts what he uses. He's been doing that ever since the Garden of Eden. If you'll go back and examine what the Bible said there in Genesis chapter 3, where the devil came and tempted Eve, you'll notice he quoted the Bible, but he added to it, all right? And you have a tendency to add some words in there. And then you see what Eve said, and she added to it. Hey, just stick with the book, all right? Stick with what the Bible says, you'll be all right. The devil, though, he's a master at that, okay? He's a master at it. So, hey, you're with me, all right? You're with me. Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Remind yourself that the Bible has something to say about sin. Then remember, the devil knows the Bible. Then fourth thing, look in verse 10, would you, there in Matthew 4. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Hey, you resist him, you remind yourself, you remember the devil knows the Bible, and then don't you be careful about rebuking him. You need to rebuke the one that comes along. There's a time that comes when we must just tell the devil, hey, get. Just get. Now, when I say that, that might mean you're telling somebody you know and like, hey, you get. You get. Because the devil can use people you like to cause you to stumble, carry you the wrong way. Most of us at some point in time have gotten in trouble with somebody else. I'm continually telling you it's my brother's fault when we were kids growing up, all right? But, hey, there's a lot of times we got in trouble. We got in trouble together, but he wasn't twisting my arm, okay? I just went along, all right? Hey, you get along, and in years you get grown. You'll have people come along, people that know you and may... you like them and you don't want to hurt their feelings, but there comes a time you have to tell them, get. You can't go along with what they want. You can't let them lead you down that road where you've got no business going. You have to get to that point in time where you just stand up and say, nope, can't do it. Can't do it. Now, I'll be honest with you. This may be one of the toughest things you have to do. But man, you don't have to pay the price. You don't have to pay the price. I've got a friend. I'm not going to mention his name. But he has on occasion come by, and at least one occasion he said, I've heard him tell that he is making moonshine in his bathtub, all right? So one time he came by and he had a mason fruit jar. And he said, look, I made some. Here it is. It looked about like Windex, all right? And it tasted like, no, I was kidding. All right. But he came along and he said to me, he said, go ahead, take a little sip. And he said, I won't tell anybody. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you this. I told my wife, I said, I think the worst thing I could have done would have been tasted it. Because I think he would have lost all respect he has for me. And he didn't, there was no pressure. It was kind of half-hearted, but yet it was there. It was there. And I think so many times God's people think, Well, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Could you stop and think just a minute? How about that God in heaven that sent his son to die on the cross for you? Do you ever think about hurting his feelings? Do you ever think about hurting him and what you do? Do you ever think about disappointing him? We ought to be a lot more concerned about that than we are disappointing or upsetting or hurting the feelings of a friend here. You know, I don't mean by doing it you have to be rude and you have to be cantankerous, but you just have to be firm and you've got to step up and say, nope, can't do it, you get out of here, I'm done, not going to do it. And by the way, it's a real good thing if you don't hesitate in the doing of that. If you go, just go, there's no way. Because you see that that little bit of indication of, if you will, indecision, that's kind of like an opening. And they begin to press and press and press for it. Look, you and I need to learn to stand. We need to learn when we face the devil. We need to, we need to resist him. We need to remind ourselves of the truth of the Word of God. We need to remember the devil knows the Bible. He'll use it against us if we let him. And we need to remember it is our job to rebuke him. Hey, if you think I'll play with him, I'll tell you this, he plays to win. He plays to win. There's no halfway with him. And don't ever get to that point where you think I can handle him. I'll tell you, I don't think I can handle him. I just can't do it. That's why the best thing in the world, you resist him, you tell him to get. And if not, you go over there in Scripture in James, that next verse says, flee. Flee. If you have to, take off. Take off. Old Joseph was there with Potiphar's wife in Potiphar's house. Joseph said, I'm out of here. The only thing I've got left to do is run. Run. So he ran. And he preserved his integrity. He preserved his purity. And he kept himself in a place where God could use him. What a blessing that is. And as we read that account in the Word of God, you know, sometimes I think we read the Bible and we just kind of gloss it over. We don't stop and think to how much pressure there was applied in that case to Joseph. Man, it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't an easy thing to do. He knew there would be ramifications, okay? He knew it. He had been down that road. He winds up in prison. He wound up there, okay? But he did the right thing. He did the right thing. The price he paid for doing the right thing wasn't even remotely close to the price he had paid for doing the wrong thing. God help us to see, hey, when you face the devil, and you will face him, so what are you going to do? Well, I won't go along to get along. You'll be disastrous. Disastrous. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Our Heavenly Father, we come tonight. Lord, we're talking about a serious subject. What to do when we face the devil, knowing, Lord, we will face him. And Lord, truth be told, we're not going to just face him once. We'll face him several times. It'll happen again and again.